Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Sometimes some of the greatest beauty is difficult to look at. Sometimes it can be found tearfully blinking behind disfiguring scars of an ugliness that hits us in the gut. If you tune into HBO tonight, you will see this kind of beauty. A subject that might cause you to turn away. A portrait of the plight of women in Pakistan who have been the victims of abusive husbands who throw battery acid on their faces as revenge for simply trying to hold on to their own dignity. The documentary film Saving Face won the Academy Award for Best Documentary Short, not because it was a happy story or brilliantly shot or some formulaic story of redemption. Saving Face is redemptive, it is brilliantly shot, and there are glimpses of happiness where you would never expect to find it. But this film won because of its sheer power to convey senseless cruelty and extraordinary mercy and compassion. Directors Daniel Yungi and Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy created Saving Face and joined us in the studio earlier this week.
Saving Face is the story of two women in Pakistan who are victims of acid violence. Acid is a chemical that is used to clean cotton, and it's often thrown on the faces of women as a means to punish them. And it's the story of a Pakistani-British doctor, Dr. Muhammad Javad, who comes to Pakistan to rehabilitate those women.
And he is a Pakistani national, but who, you know, has spent most of his life as an expatriate. Who decides that he has a responsibility here as a plastic surgeon to help women who are being, in most cases, abused by their husbands. And these attacks are, in all cases in the film, coming from the husbands.
Absolutely. Husbands, suitors, scorned lovers, people who, feel that they need to teach the women in their family a lesson.
Now, when you say punished, there's no crime these women commit, right?
No. The crime is in the minds of the men. For example, if they feel that their wife has been unfaithful, or if they feel that someone has turned down a suit, a person proposes marriage, somebody turns it down, he says, well, if I can't have her, no one can.
Let's listen to the voice of Dr. Muhammad Jawad, who's depicted in the Oscar-winning documentary short, Saving Face. And here he is talking about his sense of personal responsibility to these women who have been so horribly disfigured.
I cannot understand this. I'm trying not to be angry. I don't want to hear these stories anymore. There's an end to this story.
Here he is looking directly into camera, Daniel Yungi, and he's trying to make sense of an angst and an anxiety that you depict perfectly in this film. When he sees these women and they tell their stories, he can barely function as a doctor. He's so emotionally sort of taken aback by what he's seeing.
That's right. This is just after he's heard the story of one of our lead subjects, Roxana, and the story is just utterly horrific. And so even for a hardened surgeon like Dr. Jawad, he was emotionally struck by it. But Dr. Jawad, you know, gives us a something of a Western viewpoint and a traveler's entry into the film, and he also adds a certain levity to the film.
You're talking about a problem that both of you must have discussed endlessly, and that is that these women don't speak English. This entire film is almost completely in subtitles. Even the women advocates, many of them, the lawyers who are such heroes in this film, don't necessarily speak English. And visually, these are characters whose disfigurement is very, very hard to look at. Sharmeen, how did you describe the challenges of making this a film?
Well, for me, the biggest challenge was that I was born and raised in Pakistan, and I come from a city. And to see that this is happening in my own country, not far away from where I grew up, was horrific personally to deal with the mindset of the men. But I think when Daniel and I were thinking about the film, we were thinking about how we could show the women to not be the victims, but to be the survivors. And you see the women in the film laughing, and you see the women joking, and you see through that mayhem and through the disfigurement that these are women struggling on a daily basis just to raise a family, or they have the same kind of issues that anybody else does. And I think that's what we've heard mostly from people who've come out watching the film, is that we connected with the women.
Try to help me understand how, under any circumstances, it could be permissible And there are father-in-laws here. There are fathers of sons who are accused of this acid crime, who defend their sons in a way that's almost maddening to behold. But how could it be under any circumstances permissible to carry out an attack like this?
It's not permissible. What it is that the attacks take place in an area in Pakistan called the Saraiki Belt, which has the lowest levels of education, the highest levels of unemployment. You don't need a license to buy acid. And there is a mindset that violence against women is okay. And the reason is because for years, violence against women, especially women in the family, has gone unpunished. Finally, during the making of this film, we saw a very active parliament in Pakistan drafting a bill, hearing the testimonies of these women, and presenting a bill that now makes acid violence punishable by life imprisonment.
It's the voice of Sharmeen Obaid-Shenoy, who's co-director of the Academy Award-winning documentary short Saving Face. Also with us, co-director Daniel Yungi. Can you recall for me a scene in the film that, I don't know if I can make it through this description, but here are four or five women with the ugliest scars you can imagine on their faces, eyes gone, lips horribly disfigured. But they've dressed up, and they're out at a shopping mall, and they've been getting some attention in terms of pictures being taken as a result of, I gather, they witnessed some of the testimony that was taking place in the parliament in Islamabad. They're laughing and making jokes, and then one of them says, "But if you looked into our hearts, you would see." How did that scene come about?
That scene actually takes place because they're part of an organization called Acid Survivors Foundation,
right,
who put on a public hearing, more or less, or a demonstration of, and some of the women spoke. And so for the first time, they found themselves with an audience. So you see them getting made up and putting makeup on and getting dressed up. And I think the way they're reacting is because they realized they had a voice and a platform to be heard.
Did you have any idea how powerful just simply needing to make up your face to go into public, because most of these people are wearing a burqa and sunglasses, are ashamed in any sense to show their faces, Charmaine?
Well, the first time that Zakia, our main subject, gets her face fixed and she puts on makeup and she wears red, which is symbol for hope and a new beginning, and walks for the first time without covering her face on the streets of Rawalpindi, and you see people looking at her and you see her confidence and you see her smiling, that's when you realize that even for these women, everything, any small thing makes such a big difference.
How did you keep your emotions in check, observing some of the excuses and lies, quite frankly, of some of these men who are accused, who are in prison? They're not like out, although there are plenty of stories in this film of people who don't get any punishment at all.
Well, I had to restrain myself,
yeah.
I have to be honest.
The excuse was, she poured gasoline on herself and set herself on fire. Just go to the burn unit and see. 99% of the people have burned themselves alive.
Yes, that was when I was thinking a punch would do well. But, the reason that these men allowed me in and told me their stories because they felt that they had done nothing wrong. And the sheepish grin on Roxana's husband's face as he told me that, well, so matter-of-factly that, you know, all women do this. That mindset needs to be changed. But we needed to show the mindset of the men for the audience to understand what these women have to go through on a daily basis and why they're victims of such a heinous attack.
Well, you know, we haven't even scratched the surface. I mean, there was one story in there of a woman who was attacked, who was disfigured, and then to even have access to her own children was forced to reconcile with her family, to actually go back in the same house if she wanted to have any contact with her children. For a documentary short, there is so much here. Congratulations. What does this Oscar mean, Daniel and Shireen, in terms of this issue for me?
Well, first of all, there's no better recognition in the world for a filmmaker. And for an issue-based film like this, suddenly we have an incredible microphone. The film is showing on HBO March 8th here in North America. But then we're going to have a global rollout of the film that's definitely going to be facilitated by this piece of hardware.
Daniel Yungi is co-director of the Academy Award-winning documentary short Saving Face. And Shireen Obaid-Shenoy, you are the first Pakistani to ever win an Oscar?
Absolutely. And it's an incredible feeling in a country that has such bleak news. They've really held on to this and they feel proud that this has happened, and proud also that it's an issue that's come out and that people are working to solve that issue in the film. And I think that really shows to Pakistanis that we can solve our own problems if we so desire to.
One more time there, Sharmeen, Obaid Shenoy, and Daniel Yungi directed that Academy Award-winning documentary, Saving Face. It's a powerful blockbuster, and you can see the film tonight on HBO.